We'll let Kirsten get started. Again, people coming in the back, there's plenty of seats up front here. I encourage you to sit there because we keep having more and more people come in. This is great to have the crowd we do. She'll be talking about soybean yield response to natural soil salinity gradients in Richland County, North Dakota. Thank you.
Good morning. Again, I'm going to talk to you about soybean yield response to natural gradients in soil salinity. As we all know, there is an abundance of research with regards to crop productivity and increasing levels of salinization. Previous thresholds actually estimate this at about 5 decisiemens per meter for soybeans. So essentially after an EC of 5, we begin to see declines by about 20% in relative yield per unit increase in soil salinity. Unfortunately, with these previous studies, the methodology used isn't necessarily able to be reconciled with the type of salinization we have in our region. So in the Red River Valley, we actually have primary salinity, and what that is a more natural form of salinization in which salts are coming up through capillary rise into the soil profile from a naturally saline groundwater table. So these previous studies are actually more investigating secondary salinity, where salinity is induced through poor quality irrigation. The second issue with reconciling these thresholds with our field conditions are that salinity from the previous studies is induced using sodium chloride. And actually in our system, we have a sulfate-dominated salinity. So what that means is we have the potential to have differences not only in osmotic stresses because of the lower solubility of sulfate salts, but also specific ion toxicities could vary because we have a sulfate anion constituent. So ideally, with this research, what we want to do is not only build on previous salinity research, but also add to it in such a way that is more relevant and pertinent to producers in our region that deal with primary salinization in a sulfate-dominated system. Our main research question was at what EC under field conditions do soybean yields begin to decline? Again, because of the abundance of previous research, we do expect to observe declines. What we're unsure about is at what EC or what threshold these declines will begin to occur, as well as the slope of decline after these thresholds have been reached. The objectives of the study were to develop a soybean crop response curve that is more pertinent to producers in the Red River Valley. We want to incorporate this into an economic model so they can not only assess the impacts of soil salinity on agricultural productivity, but also assess what that means for on-farm profits. This study is actually the second phase of an interdisciplinary research that NDSU is doing to assess the impacts of salinity on all aspects of agriculture. So, what did we do? Our research site was located in Richland County, North Dakota, which is where that blue dot is on the map on the left-hand side. We had 6 fields, 3 fields closer to Morton, North Dakota, and 3 fields in Wabtec, North Dakota, both townships in Richland County. Richland County is characterized as a semi-arid region and receives about 50 centimeters of rainfall annually. We performed this study across 2 growing seasons. The first growing season, we used fields 1 through 3, and those are sandy loam in texture. The second growing season, we used fields 4 through 6, and that was a silty clay loam texture. So what we did first was use the EM38 to establish preliminary salinity gradients. This allowed us to create a field scale map of salinity, and we then constructed our transects on the steepest salinity gradients depicted by that map. We hand harvested yield in a designated sampling area at the end of the growing seasons. And we assess this against the depth-weighted average salinity of the root zone. This for soybeans, we defined between the 0 and 30 centimeters, and we based this not only on previous research reporting soybean distribution of roots under field conditions, but also from our soil samples that we took at each point on the transect for root cores. Salinity was assessed using a saturated paste extract on 4 composite samples taken from each sampling location. And while we only use the 0 to 30 centimeters for the depth-weighted average, we actually sampled down to 120 centimeters at depth increments between 0 and 15, 15 to 30, 30 to 60, 60 to 90, and 90 to 120. So the fun part, our results. For the sandy loam soil, we actually did observe declines, significant declines. We used both an exponential and a piecewise model to describe these declines. For the exponential model, it was significant, explained slightly higher variation in terms of the yield data. And we observed that at around, or after an EC between 2.5 and 3, we began to see the steeper declines in yield. For the piecewise linear regression, we found a significant breakpoint at 2.5, thus almost corroborating our exponential model. We noticed that after this threshold, soybean yield declined by about 6 bushels per acre, which is equivalent to a 15% reduction in yield per unit increase in salinity. Year 2, for the silty clay loam soil, unfortunately, despite our blood, sweat, and tears, we did not find any significant patterns in this data. We've tried everything from manipulating the data based on when the plant experiences salinity in terms of its growth stage, so vegetative versus reproductive. Unfortunately, no divisions seem to work at this point, so we're going to go with this idea that no results are still results. So let's discuss. We decided to use the exponential model because that seemed to be most indicative or ecologically relevant of what occurs to plants when you have increasing levels of salinity. So what I mean by an ecological relevant model is that with increasing salinity, you begin to see these cumulative effects that the plant will experience. By cumulative, we're talking about when you increase salinity, you're going to have a decrease in above ground biomass, which means you have the potential for greater rates of evaporation from that soil surface. So what that means is not only are you pulling up more salts and increasing salinization, but you're also decreasing the amount of available water that the plant can use during the growing season. Another cumulative effect would be increased pest pressures as well as decreased nutrient availability. So again, we chose the exponential model not only because it was more significant and explained more variation, but also because it's more ecologically relevant to the system that we're working with. We also observed a lower threshold than previous studies. So this could potentially mean that sulfate salts are actually more detrimental to soybean yield than previously described by literature. This is somewhat contrary to other studies that do report more detrimental effects associated with chloride, but the greenhouse study preceding this one actually did observe similar effects in terms of above ground biomass, that there were actually lower threshold ECs at which we started to see soybean yield or soybean biomass decline. The slope of the decline we observed in our study is somewhat similar to established thresholds or to established slopes from previous models in that we observed a 15% reduction in yield per unit increase, whereas previous studies were around 20%. So the fun part. With the silty clay loam, what we think is happening is due to differences in water retention because of the textures of the soils. So if you look at this plot, the bottom line is actually a sample point from our sandy loam field, and the top line is a sample point from our silty clay loam field. And what we think is happening is even at the same pressure potential, the silty clay loam fields have a higher water content. So in effect, we think that the salinity is being diluted because of this increase in water content. And we think that's valid because we're dealing with sulfate salts. And because sulfates have a lower solubility, that excess water may not necessarily be enough to actually dissolve the salt, so it will in effect, just dilute the soil solution. So the plant wouldn't be as impacted by the salinity that is present. Where do we go from here? Obviously, we saw quite a low R-squared value, so the next step would be to determine whether this lack of variation explained is a consequence of a field study, and just that there's so much inherent variation in the field that we can't account for it, or whether it was because salinity was not a major controlling factor of yield. And I think the best way to approach this in terms of a future study would be a greater understanding of the geochemistry of the environment we're working with. So we need to think more about the spatial and temporal variation associated with salinity. So with the spatial, you have things like cation analysis. There could be, even despite the same salinity values measured by a saturated paste, the composition of that salinity could be different. So we could be looking at different specific ion toxicities. And the other one, which is a little bit more complicated, would involve water content. And that kind of accounts for the temporal variation. So as water varies, or water content varies across the growing season, that is going to affect not only what's dissolved in solution, but how much of that salt is dissolved in solution. So again, that would start to account for salinity, or the salinity that the plant is experiencing across the entire growing season, that may not necessarily be indicative of a saturated paste extract. In conclusion, obviously, we need a lot more research in terms of how crops respond to soil salinity under field conditions. We also need to acknowledge that there are potential pitfalls with field research in terms of how much variation we can explain. But the benefits of this are the greater applicability of these results to producers. And in terms of our application or how we presented this at Extension Studies, we've seen not only a greater interest from producers in joining the conversation on salinity, but also less reluctance to adopt alternative management strategies to reclaim saline soils and prevent them in the future. So with that being said, I would like to thank our funders, the North Dakota Soybean Council, the Corn Growers Association, and the Wheat Commission. A huge thank you to the producers that let us frolic across their fields for 2 years. My advisors, Dr. Thomas DeSutter and Dr. Abby Wick. And then a huge thank you to everyone at North Dakota State University in the Soils and Entomology Departments, and in particular, a few special ladies, Rebecca Shuey, Maria Brecker, Erin Gaitler, and Chandra Langsa, who without them, I probably would have succumbed to the bulk pressure of this project. Thank you.
Questions for our speaker?
Nothing? Nobody?
Questions?
So is the question, does soybean variety impact salt tolerance, basically?
Right. Does that affect some of your observations?
Yeah, actually, a lot of the research that I've read, any discrepancies between those threshold values before soybeans start to decline is, in fact, generally attributed to soybean variety. So that could be, and actually between our growing seasons, while within the same growing season, we had consistent management practice and consistent variety, that wasn't necessarily the case between growing seasons. So we did, in fact, have two different varieties of soybeans, which could also be contributing to the very sad depiction of no response in our silty clay loam soils.
Additional questions? We have some time.
Did you track the precipitation throughout both the seasons in relation to growth date of the soybeans?
So did we basically monitor precipitation with respect to the stage that the plant was in? I have not done it with respect to stage. Luckily, we have something called Endon, which gives you weather data on a daily basis. So cumulatively across the growing season, they did in fact receive the same average same rainfall amount, but I'm not sure how that relates to the vegetative or the reproductive stages.
For another question? Thank you. You're off the hook.
Thank you.